They will resume before the break. We're dealing with Leah's problems, as we see it, having children and so on and so forth. Well, it is not only that Leah explained her situation with the name of her first son, but then she proceeded to make an erroneous assumption when she states in the last sentence of verse 32, when it said, "Surely my husband will love me now." That's an assumption, and we'll talk about it in a minute. It seems that the attitude many women have today about the role of having children and solving marital problems is a deception that is a part of a woman's sinful nature, as well as an old concept. There are many women who become pregnant just so they can save their marriage, as they say. But the truth is that having a child will not solve or save a failing marriage. It might bring the two couples together for a brief time or a short period of time, but once the excitement associated with having a child wears off, the marital problem returns. So it is an illusion for a woman to ever think that having a child is tantamount to the husband loving her. Leah concluded that because she now has a son, that Jacob must certainly love her and pay more attention to her. She was wrong, you know, for there is no indication that Jacob's attitude towards her changed. It is important to realize that material things will never salvage a failing marriage. A man feels that his marriage is in trouble or failing because the wife seems not to love him any longer, as they say. So what does he do? He buys her a new car, a new home, a new this, and a new that. That is a band-aid. It won't serve it. That approach, no doubt, is doomed to failure. For when people are not getting along, it is not a problem that has to do with the material. I mean, they may talk about material things, these things are just symptoms, but that's really not the problem. The problem is something that is immaterial. It deals with the immaterial part of both of them that we call the soul. So, to fix or correct material, any kind of marital problem, the couples must focus on the spiritual condition instead of material things. Leah here was mistaken because she did not link Jacob's attitude towards her to her soul's condition and to Jacob's soul condition. She failed to do that. For it is possible, it never occurred to her that, so even though I know most women were unhappy or whatever it is, call almost all men dogs. I know that. Bang. It never occurred to this woman that maybe just because I deceived this man and became the wife, that could be the reason. He didn't care too much about me. It never occurred to her. She thinks sex will solve the problem. Having more children will solve the problem. So while Jacob himself may have tried not to show much attention towards her, there's a reason for it. And that is the thing that the woman failed to focus on. And she thinks she can fix it. And how many times have you heard that? Fix it. You don't fix things that are dealing with the soul, with things that are immaterial. That's the point. You cannot fix, when people have problems, I'm talking about married people, when they begin to have problems, it is in the soul. It is not material. And that is why there is only one solution. And that solution has to do with the spiritual. Both of them must focus on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them must be faithful to the word of God in its application. That's the only way to solve it. But of course, you know, we live in a time when drugs seem to fix every problem. So, they say go to counseling. Get this, get that, get that, and that will help you calm down. No, you can do all that. It doesn't solve it. The real problem has to be solved by dealing with the spiritual. I am sure that had Leah here taken time to examine her soul and really seriously talk to Jacob, and you know, we'll go and say, "Well, I know, I understand. I understand how you feel. I did some wrong to you. I deceived you. And that's why you're feeling this way towards me. Now we are in this together. What, how can we do it? Or what should we do to make it better?" And she just didn't want to do that, I imagine, because there's nothing in the Father that indicates that. So she goes for the solution, human solution, that ignores the soul. Now, be that as it may, Leah became pregnant a second time and gave birth to a second son that she named Simeon. Now, her reason for giving the second son the name Simeon is connected with her condition, for she explains this, or explains that condition, in the second sentence of verse 33. Genesis 29:33, where it says, "Because the Lord had that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." Now the word "had" suggests that Leah might have prayed to the Lord about what she faced, her plight. Now by the way, it is important to know that Leah was a believer. So, we realize that Jacob, a believer, married fellow believers. Even though we're dealing with believers who have failed and who hasn't failed. So, but the issue here is that there is some things that this woman got wrong in her assessment, in her thinking. And a lot of us believers go that route. We have wrong thinking about many problems that we face, and we approach them in the wrong way. When Leah had a third son, in any case, she named him Levi. Now, after this third son, she returned to her old way of thinking, and that is that having children will change her relationship with Jacob, according to the second sentence of verse 34. Now that's how she began. She just said, "Well, if I can just, I'm almost thinking of her prayer. We say, Lord, you know this man doesn't care too much about me, but I know if you just give me a son, that will change." God said, "Okay, now you have it." He didn't change it, but you know, sometimes the Lord will say, "It's a humorous God. He knows what the solution is, and we pray for that what is not the solution." Sometimes he gives us just to rub our nose in it and say, "You see, you got it? So nothing has changed." And I believe that's what was going on with this woman. So when she started with that, now she has three children, three sons. In the ancient world, she had what they were called jewelry. I mean, that's just highly prized for a woman to have three sons in the ancient world and much more. So now that's why I say, now at last, my husband, that's verse 34, "Now at last, my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." What a good reasoning to have. She thought that things are going to change. Now, I mean, sometimes when you look at those things, it becomes almost comical. The first one, nothing happened. Second one, nothing happened. And she keeps deceiving herself.
Let me try one more time. It will change. And it's not going to change. That's what we'll see. In any case, the word attached here is a translation of a Hebrew word, lava or lawa. It can be spelled this way, L-A-V-A-H or L-A-W-A-H. Lava or lawa, depending on how. Now that Hebrew word has two meanings. The first set of meaning of this Hebrew word is to join or to be joined or to adhere to. Now the second set of meaning is to borrow or to lend. Now that goes back to what I talked about on Wednesday. Since there are several meanings to almost any Hebrew or Greek word, it's always looking at the context and other things that help us narrow the best word to use to explain what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand. The meaning here, though, is to be joined. That's the best way. So the meaning of this word gives us a clue as to the problem as Leah sees it. Now, she explained the problem. Now, it appears that Jacob did not spend much time with her. That seemed to be part of the problem. Because she's talking about attachment. You know, closeness. That's what she's talking about. So that gives us an idea of what she was suffering from. So now, she had three sons. She was so convinced that because of these three sons, that Jacob would now be forced to spend more time with her. So in other words, she got the problem worked, as we say. It's solved. Now I have three children, I have three sons. There's no doubt this man is not going to really lavish his attention on me. Now clearly, we know that Leah was starved here for the husband's attention. Now it is indeed very difficult for a woman when she does not get her husband's attention. It's a very difficult thing for her. And rightly so. Now a husband can give a wife everything she needs if there is such a thing. I can assure you, it doesn't matter what you can have all, you know, have all the money on the planet. I can assure you, no man will give a woman everything she needs. You say, but I can buy all this and buy all that. Yeah, you buy all that. So you still would satisfy her, believe me. Why? Because it is not a material thing. It is not. Now, of course, having said that, remember there are some wonderful exceptions. By that I mean there are some fine believing ladies who are satisfied with or without you buying a thing for them. All they have that inner satisfaction in the soul. So, whether they wear one clothes for 7 days straight, it doesn't matter to them. Because inwardly, they are satisfied. Whereas, there are many that their husbands can afford everything on this planet, just name it. And they get it for them. And yet, no satisfaction. Now, if you don't believe me, we all hear news and so on. The easiest way, just look at Hollywood. That's all I can say. Look at Hollywood. I mean, these guys, women, and they're buying stones or whatever they call them in millions and millions of dollars. Solving the problem? No, it doesn't. Otherwise, if that is true, there should never be a divorce coming out of Hollywood or all those places where we suppose that they all have all those wealth. So the point is this. A husband can give anything or give all that a woman wants, as we can say, and still not please her. So in this case, if there is anything that Jacob could have done, that would not please Leah. The only thing would have been at this point what she starved for is attention. If she gets it, of course, she would be starving for something or that. I know that. That's just the human nature. So here, she feels unloved and therefore requires just to be shown the right attention to. So my point is that a husband can give a wife everything she needs, but as long as she's not getting the man's attention and support, she will always feel cheated and unloved. There's just something about it. I can explain it to you. It's a part of the curse. I can explain it. Now, why a woman feels that way? I don't know. All I can, my only answer is, it's a part of the curse. Now, men feel it in their own way too. The same explanation is part of the curse. Because of the sin of our original father, Adam and Eve. And so we find ourselves wanting more and more. Not being satisfied with things. But this case we have a little bit different. Leah was not satisfied. She felt cheated. She could not get enough of her husband because, I suspect, and rightly so, as we go deeper into this Genesis, you will see my point here. We'll find out that Jacob spends more time with Rachel than with Leah. And that's a problem. And that bothers her. Now, I'm sure when, you know, most women, when they think about the idea of bigamy and polygamy, I think that's what one of the things that may go into their mind. Am I going to share my husband with somebody? And that just, you know, that's about what this one is going through. The idea that this, their husband is spending much more time with his sister instead of her, bothers her, even though she is the one getting pregnant 4 times now. But that still did not solve the problem. So, she became obsessed with a husband, in this case, with her husband's attention, longing to spend time with him. You know, one of the things in this life that applies to men and women, but somehow more so to women. And that is this. Whatever they cannot get, they get so obsessed with it. That's what they want to have. And of course, that's true of men too. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying this kind of relationship, husband-wife relationship. This is why this woman was so obsessed now. She wants this man's attention more than anything. Hence, there's no doubt that she will complain to anyone who cares to listen of her mistreatment by this man, the husband. Jacob might not have been spending what we call the quality time with Leah as she would like, because we can say stoppingly, Jacob spent some time or some night or evening with her after all, she kept becoming pregnant. So we know he did, it just wasn't the quality time that she was looking for. So whatever the arrangement was for spending the evening with Leah, she certainly made the most of it. So she gave birth to a fourth son. This time, she stopped complaining about her misery and decided that she would praise God who, as we see in the last part of the first sentence, verse 35 says, this time I will praise the Lord. This time. Now we're not given the reason why Leah stopped complaining and resorted to praising the Lord. Although, on a closer reading, studying, and examining, and allowing God the Holy Spirit to give us reasons, we will find out that there are perhaps 2 possible reasons for her change of attitude. First, it could be because she has come to learn that she should focus more on the Lord who has been faithful to her than on the husband. That's maybe one of the first reasons for her changing attitude. She has come to realize, better focus on the Lord, not on your husband. Which, by the way, should be the case for every married person. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ more, not your husband, not your wife. But my understanding
because of the way the Lord had designed us. If we focus on him more, your wife will be benefited. Your husband will be benefited, because you will be the right type of husband and you will be the right type of wife if the focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we think here, that she somehow she had become to the point where she realized that she needs to focus on the Lord who has been faithful to her. In other words, some spiritual growth might have taken place with Leah. She must have grown a little bit. Second, Leah might have come to terms with what we call the reality that Jacob would always love Rachel more than herself. That there is no need for fighting. Don't fight it. She may have come to that conclusion. No matter what I do, here I am, kicking out children just like that. And nothing seems to change. So, she may have come to the conclusion of some of the things that we're going to see as the message of this section. Of course, it seems to me, though, that her change in attitude reflects more so a change in her spiritual relationship with the Lord. For you see, when there is a change in a person's relationship with the Lord, it is often accompanied with a change in attitude. When there is a change between a person's relationship with the Lord, you will notice it in his changed attitude or in her changed attitude. There is just no way. I am one of those that I do not believe, based on the word of God, more so, and also from things I've observed. It is impossible for any believer to keep on giving the word of God, faith to his soul or her soul, and he or she applies it and remains the same person. It doesn't happen. It does not happen. The word of God transforms. You remember? That's what Paul keeps saying. Let the word of God so richly indwell in you. That's why we started on Wednesdays. Now that we just finished Colossians. That's what Paul was saying. Let that word dwell in you. Why? Because that is the only thing that can bring about a true transformation in a person's life. So, here is a test for all of us. If we have been exposed to the word of God on a continuous basis, and it doesn't affect our lifestyle, no one sees those changes, one or two things can be true. One, either we are an unbeliever, in that case, nothing gets through. Or secondly, we are believers that warm up the seat, and that's all we do. And I mean warm up the seat, that just show up here and listen to whatever it is that gets you excited or don't get you excited, but at the end of it, once you leave here, you don't think about it. But otherwise, there is no doubt that the word of God changes our life. Every one of us. Otherwise, why did God give it to us? And otherwise, why do we study it? It is because the word of God is alive and powerful, and therefore can transform any person's life. So I'm convinced here that there's some kind of transformation. Spiritual growth is taking place with this woman. Even though she still has a little bit here and there, so do we. But the point is, if you're growing, others will see that impact. And I know that a whole lot of people in this congregation are growing. There's no doubt in my mind. I know that. And I hear things that some of you don't think I hear. But I just get a kick out of it. I just get excited knowing that many in this congregation are taking this word seriously and is doing something in their lives. And that we thank God for. Now the word praise is a translation of the Hebrew word yada. 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 Y-A-D-A-H. This word has a fundamental meaning of to confess or to acknowledge. Hence, it conveys two meanings. The first meaning is something like this: to praise or to sing a hymn or to give thanks. That's the first set of meaning: to praise, to sing a hymn, to give thanks. The second set of meaning is to confess openly and freely. So this Hebrew word is then used in two basic ways. First, it is used for praise either of God or man. However, it is the praise of God that is predominant in the Bible when this word is used. Hence, praise is a confession or declaration of whom God is and what He does. It's a declaration of who God is and what He does. So thanksgiving is a form of praise. Praise involves intense emotion. And so, because it involves an intense emotion, it will include joy, singing, and playing. Some of us may not sing well, but you can sing when you're praising God. It can include exaltation, it can include rejoicing, glorifying God. All these are implications of that word. Now, in the Old Testament worship, praise was not really a private matter, but a public event that involves others who will join in with joy while making some exclusive reference to God. And they will be, you know, singing and making joyful noise as is used in the Old Testament. But all of this is, they're thinking about what God, how good our God is, how great He is, what He has done for us, what a wonderful God. These are the type of things. And of course, when you think about it, read Psalms. That's songs. It doesn't sound like some of the Christian songs today, but that's it. But these are people who know that praise is something that you do for God, and it should be meaningful when we do it. So, we do not really have any more much information of how the praise in the temple was conducted. However, it is clear that praise in the temple included singing songs of thanksgiving with physical instruments. So that's the first thing. Second, this Hebrew word is also used for confession of sin, either individually or nationally. In Israel, the confession of sins is carried out on the Day of Atonement. That's the day they will confess their sin. Now, of course, all through the year, they have all kinds of sacrifices that affect, or at least show that they are dealing with their sins. But at the Day of the Atonement, they have what that confession is, the national day of confession, so to say. Now, the use of this word, though, in connection with Leah, implies that she has come to true realization of the goodness of the Lord and spoke about it openly. So she names her first son Judah. Now after this first son, Leah stopped having children for some period of time. And she didn't have, eventually as we go, we'll see she had two more children later on, but for now, she sees having children. As we have previously stated, we are not informed as to the reason Leah ceased to have children for a little while. We could speculate that either she lost interest in sexual relationship with her husband, having concluded that sex without love is meaningless, or she was temporarily infertile. So it is also possible that Jacob himself might have ceased to have sexual relationship with her, probably because of the influence of Rachel. I can imagine. It's not hard to conceive these things, that she will be nagging him. Why do you always go down there that every evening? You pay that. If you love me, stay with me. Don't go up there. So that could have happened. Well, whatever the reason, she has become blessed with 4 children, while perhaps still in some pain for not being exactly loved by Jacob the way she wanted it or expected it. Her blessing with 4 sons though suggests 2 facts to us. First, the Lord has started to fulfill his promise to Jacob of blessing him and being with him. These 4 children. 4 sons, indication of that. He has started. Second, that some forms of discipline do not mean that a person disciplined could not ever be blessed. In other words, the Lord may not completely withdraw discipline when we acknowledge our sin, but he will certainly bless us in spite of the presence of what I may call it residual discipline. Residual discipline. R-E-S-I-D-U-A-L. Residual discipline. Now there are, in other words, there are certain failures that will result in certain forms of discipline. But even when the discipline is removed, the effects will still continue to exist. There are examples of that in the Bible. We're not getting into all that now. But Leah here illustrates this case. Although the Lord removed his discipline from her with the blessings of sons, yet the effect of the initial discipline remained throughout her life. Jacob never loved her as much as Rachel. That is a reality that she brought on herself by deceiving Jacob and being married to him deceptively. Jacob could not possibly love 2 wives in the same fashion. So Leah must have lived with this pain of not being loved as Rachel during her lifetime, although she has been blessed with many sons. I don't know how to explain that. But if you know women who have gone through this, they will tell you it's a painful thing to be married to a man and have this an awful feeling. He doesn't care anything about you in the world. That's very awful. Hence, the point that while certain disciplines are removed, the residual effects remain. That is a valid principle. In any case, having gone through this narrative, there are 3 lessons or messages or principles that we should glean from this section. First, personal sins in the life of a believer make it difficult to interpret any suffering as anything but discipline. Let me repeat that. The message here, that personal sins, inconsistency with your relationship with the Lord, inconsistency with the Word of God, all of those make it difficult to interpret any suffering that comes to an individual as anything but discipline. I know, because of who we are human beings, we don't want people to tell us that. We don't want somebody to tell, well, you being disciplined. Well, the next thing we'll say, who are you? How you know? You're not God. Well, we have the Bible. The Bible gives us a lot of things that we can use and match our experiences in life. So if a believer, in this case, if a believer, we are mindful of his spiritual life, walking in the light, in other words, taking in the Word of God, learning it, applying it, in every day, in everything he or she does, then when suffering comes to that individual, the first interpretation will be that believer is being tested. See the difference? If you are inconsistent with the learning of the Word of God, You don't show much interest in God's word. I mean, you go to church, that's all right. That doesn't mean anything in the world. If you're not being consistent with that word, if you're not learning it consistently. I know it's not popular. Most people think, oh, I can grow. All I need is go to church once a week. Show up once a week. No, if it's all that, I don't understand why the Bible would say, this book of the law shall not depart from your eyes. In other words, day in, day out. We need to be taught. We need to be exposed to the teaching of the word. Because the more we do that, first of all, it shows that we're faithful. Now, people say, well, I don't have to come every time. I don't have to listen to teaching of the word all the time. Well, if you don't have to, tell me what you fill your soul with. Because, you see, we all are in a state that I call precarious. Very easy to forget spiritual truth. But if we're constantly reminded of it, every now and then, you hit home at the right time. But if we never avail ourselves that opportunity, we'll never get it. So, what I'm saying is, if a believer is serious, and you know that he or she takes the word seriously in every way you can imagine it, he's consistent with it. So whenever that person begins to suffer, it is easy for those around to say, this believer is being tested. However, if he were not serious with his spiritual life or her spiritual life, then we are more likely to interpret, and almost most of the time correctly, that such a suffering is discipline. If Leah and Rachel had not played along with their father to deceive Jacob, then we would have assumed that they were suffering as a means of the Lord testing them to see how they trust him. For as we have indicated, we know that the wives of Abraham and Isaac, they suffered barrenness so that God's miraculous power will be displayed in them. So the point is that when a believer ceases to take interest in the word of God and apply it, of course, then when such a believer suffers, our first conclusion will be to attribute that person's condition with discipline. And I'm saying, most of the time, we will be right. It's just that people don't want to hear it. As you know, we don't like truth. A lot of times people say, I like to know what the truth is, but they really don't want it. Because if you tell it to them, they get angry with you. But the point I'm making is, this is a principle. That's the message. Because we wouldn't have even deduced anything about Leah and Rachel, that they didn't have children the first few years. Since Sarah didn't have, Rebecca didn't have until 20 years later. So what made it different? What's just different? Because God the Holy Spirit had told us how they cheated, how they were part of deception. We weren't told that about Sarah, we weren't told that about Rebecca. So you see how these things come together. So that's why we say, if you live your life consistently as a believer, when you suffer, believers who know truth, the first thing they should be doing is praying for you that you're going under testing. But if you're not consistent, it'd be hard to pray for anything. But God, continue what you're doing. Continue what you're doing until you get this believer's attention, right? Because we know you love him or love her. That's my point. Second, true love cannot be bought through sexual relationship. Many single people destroy their capacity for faithfulness in marriage bond because they do not realize that love cannot be bought through sexual relationship. So they succumb to sexual pressure because they do not want to lose their friendship or relationship with the opposite sex. And sometimes I just, you listen to these things on the news, and you wonder what has happened. I was last week, they had in the news. how a university has spent thousands and thousands of dollars in research funded by, I think, Department of Health and Human Resources or something like that. I forgot. Hey, they spent thousands to come out and tell us that young women who had had sex before they got married, most of them live in pain all their life. How? New? The Bible already said that. Why does a university or why does the government have to pay all that kind of money so that somebody will come back and tell us what the Bible said many years ago? You know the reason, of course. They don't believe the Bible. See, some of this recited doing and human, you know, this and human that, to me, it's just a waste of money. When there's an applied science, medicine, engineering, applied. I can understand that. But all this is to tell us how people are not getting along is to this, you know, nothing. But they say, much ado about nothing. Because the Bible has already given us the answer. So, but the point is that even though they come out with those kind of conclusions, the Bible already told us that. So the problem is that such an effort that young people get involved in and succumb to the pressure of having sex before they marry, that hurt them and will continue to hurt them for quite some time. Leah, though, thought that sex or having more children will buy Jacob's love, but they did not. In truth, true love is often related to character. Hence, if true love is to exist between two individuals, it must start with the soul, not with the body. With the soul, not the body. The love that starts, as I say, with the body, is not love, but infatuation. Third, it is more beneficial to praise God than to live in bitterness of soul. There is no doubt that when Leah began to praise the Lord for his goodness towards her, that she had peace within her soul. It's not that in my mind. With peace in her soul, her relationship with the husband must have certainly improved. You know, she stopped nagging and started praising. Praising who? God, not a husband. So the point is that when we find ourselves praising God for what he has done for us, instead of complaining or whining, we will have peace of mind, which will in turn affect our relationships with other people. If you are at peace, if you're not depressed, if you're enjoying the peace that the Lord provides you, you have no problem with anyone. I can almost say, even though that's difficult to say, you can almost live with a devil in the name of a wife or a husband and still make it and still retain your sanity because you have your peace. Nothing can touch it. But so, if you're always complaining, then start now to praise God for the many blessings of your life. Now, a person may say, I do not have any blessing. Well, are you saved? Are you a believer in Christ? If so, you have the greatest blessing that could come to anyone on this planet. No blessing is greater than having eternal life. Do you enjoy good health? That's another more blessing. Are you well fed? It's a blessing. Now remember now, I know it's hard for us sometimes, especially in this country, where we throw away more food than we feed the rest of the world in a day. So it's hard for us to remember these things. To remember, there are millions and millions of people who starve. So the fact that you are well fed is in of itself a blessing to be thankful to God. But you know, now you're thinking only when you can get you a Rolls Royce or whatever. That's when you think the Lord is blessing you. No, His blessings with more ways than you can even imagine. In fact, there are so many blessings that the Lord has put upon us that if one can sit down and reflect over our lives, we will see them and we'll start praising Him. And our life will change from then on. Instead of a life of whining, bitterness, complaint, we get that law. The life that says, rejoice always. Because that is the way the Lord wants you and I to go through. Don't bank your hope on anything human material. You must bank it on the Lord. And when you do, you will see those blessings that He pours upon you. And you will join this woman now and begin to praise God. This, my fellow believers, is the message of that section to us living at this present time. Let's pray. As we come to the close of our study this morning, there may be someone here who has never really come to a personal relationship with Christ. So you have had a lot of things. Some made sense, some didn't. But the truth of the matter is that you're spiritually dead. And that's why they don't make sense. You say, how can I change that? Well, Jesus Christ was thinking about you. When He was on that cross, He took your sins, every sin that you can ever think of, that you will commit or have committed, He already died for them. He knew all of them. So, when He died on that cross, He paid the penalty so that you can be free from the condemnation of your sins. So the only thing you can do is simply to trust, to believe that it was for you that Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's why the Bible says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By believing in Him, you will have life. If you trust Him, if you see Him as the God-man, the one who went to that cross to die just so that you can be redeemed, you will receive life. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. As many as receive Him, to them has He given the right to become the sons of God, even those who trust in His name. Believe in Him, you receive eternal life. On the other hand, the Bible also says, those who reject Him are condemned already. Are you? Do you want to continue to be condemned? It's up to you. You make that choice. To trust Christ, you have life. Reject Him, eternal misery. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of Your Word. We pray, as is a great God, that You have been so faithful to us, that You continue to invigorate us with Your message. We pray that as we live this morning, that we keep recognizing the importance of day-to-day walk with You so that we can enjoy the blessings that You have for us and that we'll be Christians who praise You. We're grateful for the many blessings that You pour upon our souls. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.